This is I Ask, They Answer on the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Super Saver has kicked again, and Super Saver has gone clear now by 5 lengths as they race inside the final 16. Super Saver is out in front for Calvin Burrell, giving chase Williams Kitten, but the Kentucky Jockey Club goes to Super Saver, a third win in the race for Calvin Burrell. 2 lengths to find, and this leader is finding more. Rachel Alexandra and Calvin Burrell, and they have now slipped the field and gone clear, and it is Rachel Alexandra. How impressive! Rachel Alexandra wins, and it's a second golden rod for winning jockey Calvin Burrell.
Super Saver and Rachel, the most recent horses to use the Kentucky Jockey Club and Goldenrod as stepping stones to victories in the Kentucky Derby and Kentucky Oaks the following season. Mark Johnson had the call. Which of this year's renewals is more likely to provide another winner in their respective divisions when racing returns to Churchill Downs in early May? Plus, which winter race meet are Dale and Tim most looking forward to? And would you take 15-1 or less on the Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner in the Kentucky Derby futures? Those topics and much, much more are straight ahead on this week's edition of I Ask, They Answer with trainer Dale Romans and turf writer Tim Wilkin, and all presented by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program in the College of Business. And it all starts just 30 seconds from right now.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 35 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Okay, several topics to get to with Dale and Tim, but guys, we're going to begin this week's show a bit differently as we welcome back our good friend Michael Riley, whose Aqueduct All-Stars just finished that competition, the Showdown 2, competing against Dale and Tim. Dale won the competition going away, but Michael finished second and gave Dale everything he wanted. He made it very difficult on Dale in the early going before Dale was able to pull away at the end. Michael, welcome to the show, my friend.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, and congratulations to Dale. I looked at his stable up and down, and from the beginning I knew I was in up against it. But I tell you, he gave me everything he had. But I think if he put $2 across the board on all my picks, I might have actually won on the ROI, but I haven't had a chance to do that yet. Anyway, congratulations, Dale. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Michael. Good effort. You know what Apollo Creed told Rocky at the end of the first movie? Don't want no rematch. I was impressed with your horses.
Yeah, and again, I also want to say it was just a pleasure. I ran into Dale down at Charlestown on that classic night, and kind of was the highlight of the whole season for me was meeting him in person. I look forward to bumping into him again probably up at Saratoga next summer.
Yeah, that was a good night. That's a fun little place we were at.
Indeed. And then one last thing. I mean, I feel kind of bad for Timmy. He never really got out of the gate, but I have a feeling he's going to regroup and be back next time you guys do this.
But I don't know what gives him that feeling that you're going to regroup, and I don't know why he feels bad for you.
Just trying to be nice, I guess.
Dale, now, we forget that you did not win the first one. You did not win the first one. You're talking like the New York freaking Yankees right now, that you always win. You don't always win. You've got one win.
One of many and more to come.
I congratulate you. And I congratulate Michael because my team just didn't show up. I was like Aaron Rodgers getting hurt on the fourth play of the season, man. I just did not have the team this year, even though on paper going in, I thought I did. But, you know, Dale, you get you do have the license to crow a little bit, but, you know, don't crow too much.
No, you know I will, though.
I do know you will. And Michael should be able to crow a little bit because his team was very, very good.
Yeah, yep. Jumped out to a lead, but I tired on the backside. And, you know, after that, I was never really in it. Looking at the Breeders' Cup day, I just, you know, I heard Dale kind of, you know, basically accepting the win before they even loaded the gate on Breeders' Cup weekend. Nice. Confidence. I like that.
Yeah, Dale was holding a pretty strong hand.
Yeah. I looked pretty strong going into Breeders' Cup. Everything fell into place. And I, like I said before, I want to thank all my friends for giving me the inside information. That's a little edge I had on Michael.
Well, let me throw this out there for you guys. We're going to do another showdown, the Showdown 3. It'll be the rubber match between Dale and Tim. And, Michael, I got to tell you, we enjoyed having you involved so much that we want to open it up to our listeners again to see if we can have another listener compete against Dale and Tim. So maybe you win that drawing again. You get an opportunity to come back and compete against them for another opportunity. But you certainly represented Aqueduct and the Aqueduct All-Stars very, very well. Let me ask you this question, Michael, for listeners who are tuned in right now thinking, okay, I want to crack at Dale and Tim. What was the strategy you employed that made you so competitive in the Showdown 2?
Well, I follow racing every day of my life, and I have for basically my whole life. But to get a little quick five-horse stable that weekend, I actually looked at workouts across the country, and I tried to get a handle of who was in training. We all know the top horses that are in the grade ones every Saturday. We all know who those are. They're pointing towards the big races. But, like, I picked up on Private Creed, that Steve Asmussen colt training, sprinting on the turf, and I knew he had won at Kentucky Downs, and he just looked good, and his workout pattern looked great. And I'm like, well, this is a quiet little horse that might sneak up and win a couple of races. He almost did. He was second at Saratoga, and then he won back at Kentucky Downs, and he didn't have a third race in him. But, you know, I looked at the entries for the upcoming weeks, potential horses that were running like a Dare Manor. I love White Abario. I've loved him since last year. I had a feeling he was going to come into his best form, and, you know, a couple other whiffs, but that's kind of what I did. I just looked around at who was going to be entered in these races and who was training well in the last half of the year. The last, you know, we're looking at the last quarter, you might say.
Yeah, it turned out to be a pretty good strategy. And I have to tell you, this is, of course, continuing Thanksgiving weekend, and everybody's talking about what they're thankful for. I have always been so thankful for every one of our listeners who tune in every week, and really thankful you took time to participate and embrace the Showdown 2 the way you did. I know that Dale and Tim enjoyed having you aboard, and like I say, maybe we get another opportunity to have you back on board with the Showdown 3 down the road. We'll see.
Well, thank you so much. It really was a pleasure. You know, a lot of fun, and I encourage anyone who's listening, take a shot at it. Enter. You'll have more fun than you can imagine. So thank you again, guys.
Michael, appreciate
it. All right, Michael, it was fun. Nice meeting you.
Michael, right. I think that one thing, though, when you said that meeting Dale was a highlight, I think you got to get out more, to borrow a line from my esteemed colleague.
Well, we appreciate Michael being with us. It was fantastic having him along for the ride. Guys, let's go ahead and dive in now to the topics for this week's show. We have four or five different topics to get to, and we're going to kick it off with this one because the second Kentucky Derby future wager pool is taking place this weekend, and Rapoli Stables Fierceness was made the 15-1 individual betting favorite following this performance at Santa Anita 3 weeks ago.
Fierceness grabs the lead. Muth right up alongside. General Partner gives way and is back into third. And they're into the stretch. And it's Fierceness and Muth, the two of them turning for home with Fierceness in front. Fierceness is opened up here to a two-length lead. Muth is second. Then Timberlake down the outside. But it is going to be Fierceness and John Velasquez. Oh, they're running away. Fierceness, a powerhouse win. And then it was Booth, the late pose from Block. Timberlake was fourth. But what a performance by Rapoli by Fierceness.
Well, guys, I was going to ask you if 15-1 on the Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner was good value as we sit here 161 days away from the 150th Kentucky Derby. But after the first couple days of wagering, he's all the way down to right around 7-1. So let me spin it this way instead. Timmy, do you want Fierceness at 7-1? And if not, would you take him at 15-1 if he drifts back that way, sitting here on November 25th?
Well, first of all, I never bet the future wager. I think it's a dumb bet myself. I'm going to throw out a question to you guys to see if you can give me the answer to this. In the 39 runnings of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, how many of the winners made the Derby, if you had to guess?
Two, wasn't it?
No, two of them won. But how many of them?
2-1.
How about this? How many of them didn't make the Derby? Winners of that of the juvenile did not make the Derby.
The majority.
You got me there. That's another research.
The major. I'm going to say the majority. So whatever that number turns out to be.
It's 19. 19 yeah. winners of the Breeders' Cup juvenile did not make the Derby, including the last two winners, Forte and Corniche. And, you know, you had the two winners in Nyquist and Street Sense and 17 others that raced. Only three of them hit the board. So I think, you know, if you're going to take a futures swing, you got to get paid. I don't take 7-1. I might take 15, even though I don't bet this thing. I think you got to be very, very careful and tread very lightly on the futures bet because it is just so darn early. I mean, yeah, it's a fun bet for some people. I mean, I know that some people that have had horses that ended up winning the Derby took big swings and bet their horses in the futures and got paid. But for me, I stay away from it, and I think you really need to tread lightly on this kind of a wager because. You know, it's someone that looks really good in November might not be looking so good in May.
Yeah, it's definitely history's against him. But I think that most people that play the futures, I mean, winning money is great, but it's also about being right. And there's just something about saying, I picked that horse back in December or November and made my bet and bragging to your friends. But history's against anybody who wins the Breeders' Cup juvenile. It's a lot of strides between early November, late October, and first Saturday in May.
Yep. And I mean, you know, one thing you have to balance out, too, guys, I think, is the fact that, like, look, let's say Fierceness continues to develop and just blows the doors off the competition between now and the first Saturday in May. He's going to be a lot lower than 7-1. He might be 5-2 on Derby Day. So the 7-1 looks pretty juicy if you look at it from that respect. But, boy, you're asking an awful lot of that horse to be able to do that between now and that first Saturday in May.
I mean, you remember the horse Arazi back in the early 90s?
Yeah.
He after he won the juvenile, they were anointing him as the second coming of Pegasus. And, you know, that leading up into the Kentucky Derby, it was no one was going to beat Arazi. And he finished eighth, even though he made a move in that race, but he flattened out and there were just – there's just, to me, to anoint a horse, and no one's anointing Fierceness yet, trust me, but, you know, to right now to say that this horse has won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile is going to be wearing roses in May, I don't see it. I just don't. I mean, I think Fierceness looked awful good in the Juvenile, but, you know, he's still got much more to prove.
Going to have to give you more than 7-1 or 15-1 to take that risk, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that is Derby Future Wager Pool 2. You can bet it at twinspires.com. Second topic, today's Kentucky Jockey Club and Goldenrod are part of Churchill's Stars of Tomorrow 2 program. The Kentucky Jockey Club has produced two winners of the Derby over the past 25 years, Real Quiet and Super Saver, while the Goldenrod also boasts two Kentucky Oaks winners in that time, Silver Bullet Day and Rachel Alexandra. So, guys, I'm going to ask you, which race is more likely to make it number three or add another one to their respective divisions when racing returns to Churchill Downs in early May? Dale, I'm coming to you first. I think I might know your answer.
Yeah, I'm going Jockey Club for sure. Stretch Ride, he might be the one. But, you know, Phillies, a lot of things happen with them along the way. I think that's a little tougher. And you're talking about two real superstars that came on back and won the Oak, Silver Bullet Day and Rachel were both just absolute superstars. So if I had to pick one of the races this weekend that's going to produce a Derby horse next year, I will go, or a Classic winner early next year, I'll go with the Jockey Club. And hopefully a Stretch Ride.
Yeah, what's impressed you most about Stretch Ride to this point?
The fact he likes to win, and the more I train on him, the better he gets. He shows you all the characteristics of a top horse. And, you know, like I said, it's a long time till May in a racehorse's life, but he's doing well, and I think he's going to run really big today.
Timmy?
Wasn't he overseas?
He was. He actually was. By the funny story about him, he was bought for $5,000 at the yearling sale in September at Keeneland, shipped overseas, went through a two-year-old sale over there, just happened to be Kip Elser was over there at the sale and called Terry Finley with West Point and said, this is a really good horse. He's nobody's looking at him because I guess American Pedigree. He bought him for $100,000, sent him back over here. He's got a lot of frequent flyer miles, and he's just a tough-minded horse.
So he's matured a little bit beyond his young age already?
Yeah, he has. He's really matured, and he's getting better, and I think there's a lot of room for improvement. It kind of shows you where West Point can go all over the world to find a good horse, and they plucked this one out of Europe, and I'm just glad they sent him to me.
You know, as far as the question Mike sent out here, you know, of course I'd love to see Dale get a win in this race today and then go on and get some Derby glory, because, you know, Dale's a good guy. And with the West Point, Terry Finley, he's a good guy. I'm friends with both of them. And, you know, it makes the game better when people that you know and you have relationships with can do some good. You know, again, it's still so early in these careers, and, you know, it's great to have Derby fever in November. There's an awful lot that can happen, but I'm really rooting that this one stays on the course and does a lot of good. And, you know, hope he makes the next step towards that today. So I'm going to say Dale's horse. Yes. That's my guy.
Yeah. You know, full disclosure, we are recording this edition of I Ask, They Answer here on Friday. So there's a good chance, Dale, that as we're talking about the Kentucky Jockey Club, you could have already recorded another Grade of Stakes victory in your career with the Grade 2 Clark on Friday afternoon. So, man, that would be wonderful if that is indeed the case.
It's a big weekend for our stable, and, yeah, both horses are doing well. And, oh, Giant Game, he's a grinder. Now, if he gets out there and runs his best race, he'll be very competitive today, and hopefully we're talking about him next weekend.
Yep. Giant Game running in the Clark on Friday. Again, you're listening to this show, obviously, Saturday morning, as you do every single week. And Dale getting ready to get cranked up for the Kentucky Jockey Club with Stretch Ride, who is 3-1 on the morning line. All right, moving on. We get a chance to welcome our good friend, Nick Zito, to the program. And Dale and Tim will tell me if the following statement is right or wrong.
Yeah, right or wrong. Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
Okay, guys, it was on this day, 26 years ago, November 25th, 1997, that officials from Churchill Downs and the Maryland Jockey Club announced a new method for drawing post positions for the Kentucky Derby and the Preakness Stakes. The traditional blind draw would be held to establish a selection order. Then a horse's owner and trainer would be, or an authorized agent, whoever they would choose, would pick out the preferred post position among those that were still available. If I were to say, racing needs to bring this back to add a little excitement to the post position draw, would I be right or wrong?
What do you think? Right or wrong?
Dale, what do you think?
I think you're right. I enjoyed that. I like being able to pick, and, you know, it's all the luck of the draw anyway, the order in which you get to pick or the order your number comes out. But I thought it added a little drama. There's been a couple of exciting things happen at the draw. I think when Rick Dutrow chose the 20 hole for Big Brown was pretty exciting. I think when it was funny, if you remember, when Sheikh Mohammed was at the draw for the Derby, and he walked up and acted like he was taking one of the plaques off and putting his on. And yeah. I thought that was pretty funny. And in his country, he'd get away with that. But I thought it added a little drama and made the draw a little more fun. I'd like to see it come back.
I'm going wrong on this one. I mean, I remember when that came out, and it was a novelty. And I remember going down to First Street in Louisville to when the first ones were going on there, and it was a, you know, event. And but it was a made for TV event is what it was, and it went on for too long. I mean, I get where the participants get to pick their post position, but it just went for forever, and it was must not see TV after a while. It got boring. And, you know, it just because the show was on for like an hour and they had to milk it. And it was bad. It was bad TV. And if they tweaked it a little bit so it went a lot faster, I could see them doing it. And you get the participants to pick their post. But I also think that if they want to do something, they should top point getters should get to have the top picks. I mean, if you win the most points in the Derby prep races, you should get rewarded for that, and you should get the first pick, and then down the line. That's how I would do it.
Interesting. Yeah, interesting philosophy. We'll see if anybody picks up on that, Timmy. I kind of like that idea. All right, that is our good friend Nick Zito with Right or Wrong. We'll bring that topic or that segment back for you again next week here on I Ask the Answer, as we do every week. One more topic to get to, and then Dale and Tim's final point of the week. We're down to about 3.5 minutes in the program, guys, so we'll have to boogie through this one. But Fairgrounds recently kicked off their winter meet. Turfway opens on Wednesday, and Gulfstream is going to follow suit on Friday with the start of their championship meet. Oaklawn and Santa Anita are also coming up on the horizon. So, Tim Wilkin, which winter meet are you most excited about?
Well, being an East Coast guy, I'm gonna take Gulfstream, because that's where they run the Florida Derby, the Fountain of Youth, and the Holy Bull. Yeah, the other three tracks, they have more prep races, but Gulfstream also has the Pegasus World Cup, and that is a race that, you know, it was so hyped when it first started, and I think that it could get a little bit. I think it needs a little bit more of a boost, but it's a race that, you know, it starts the racing calendar off pretty much, and you know, a lot of the New York horsemen and Kentucky horsemen are in Florida, and you know, that's the tradition for me. Florida Derby, Fountain of Youth, Holy Bull. I like that for the Derby preps, and I just love watching racing in Florida.
I must agree with my friend. I love Florida. I'm going up on my 30th winter in a row down there, and have a home down there, and that's my spot. And I just love South Florida racing and the preps and the big races. You know, the everyday cars could probably use a little boost, but I love South Florida racing. I think the best horses come out of there. The horses that do the best the rest of the year come out of there. And I just enjoy going to the races on a nice day in the winter at South Florida. I can't wait to get down there next week.
Now, the championship meet kicking off on Friday should be fantastic. Of course, Santa Anita will open with their traditional day after Christmas. You got Oaklawn, as I mentioned, Turfway getting ready to kick off their meet on Wednesday. A lot of things coming up with the winter season, but Gulfstream certainly hard to top. All right, guys, time in the show now when you get to make one final point before we wrap things up. So let's see. Timmy, why don't you kick it off for us this week?
Well, I just want to go back to Stretch Ride. I'm wishing Dale plenty of luck in that race, and hopefully that the Kentucky Jockey Club gets him going on to bigger and better things as he moves on into his 3-year-old season. And I hope he enjoyed the broccoli casserole yesterday on Thursday.
Thank you, Timmy. I did enjoy my broccoli casserole. We had a great time together. You know, Thanksgiving always to me is the closing weekend at Churchill Downs, and it kind of wraps up the entire year, and it's been a great year of racing, and can't wait to get started next year for all the Derby preps and all the exciting things we have to talk about.
Dale Romans, all the best in the Kentucky Jockey Club this afternoon, and going forward with all those runners as you make your way down to Florida. Safe travels. Timmy, appreciate it, my friend. Enjoy the weekend. We're going to do it all over again next week.
Thanks, folks.
All right, if you have a topic you want to hear Dale and Tim debate or talk about in any form or fashion, email it to me, mike@horseracingradio.net, and I will work that into the show in the weeks ahead. I Ask, They Answer is presented every week by the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program and the College of Business. I'm back with more. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.